Lord, we welcome you. Have your way. Amen. Please take your seats in the Lord. I want to welcome everybody once again to tonight's service. Without further ado, it's midnight. We'll go straight to the reason and the purpose we are gathered here. And I invite, with a clap offering, shall we please invite Reverend to the podium. Reverend Eric Butchie, with a clap offering to the Lord. Amen.
You can do it better than this. We are in his presence. And I tell you that something very sweet is going to happen to us tonight. Are you ready for the service? I just want you to look at the person who's sitting next to you and say to the person, we are taking charge tonight. You believe it? Say it like you believe it. Say, it's time to take charge. It's a very good time for us to take charge because you remember those two women who some writers say they were harlots, but you couldn't really tell, but they had children. And the Bible says that they slept, and the Bible said in the middle of the night, one of them slept over the child. And whilst the other was sleeping, the other took the baby and exchanged his dead baby with a living baby. When men sleep, there is exchange. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And tonight, we want to take some time to get into his presence. Get into his presence. We want to take some time. I want my hands to be free. I want to take some time to be in the presence of the Lord and pray. And I must say to you that don't sleep. That is the first thing I want to say to you. Don't sleep. Number two, don't feel that others are not here. You know, what we are going to look at today, I wish that this size will take advantage and move into the things of the Spirit and then take charge. Because after this meeting, you will call the shots. I'm talking to somebody. You will be in charge. You'll be in charge over your health. You'll be in charge over whatever you do. You'll be in charge of your business. The devil will not take from you anymore. Can you fix this for me once more? No, it's okay. Just tighten the side. Yes. Do you come to church with your hand? Yes. Say with me, Father, it is time to hear your word. Please speak to me. in a language that I will best understand. Your word is anointed, but anoint this servant that he will be a blessing to us. In the name of Jesus. Amen. We are talking about what I have subtitled, It's Time to Take Charge, or Taking Charge. And remember that we are still looking at the issue of the authority of the believer. And today I just want us to look at it from a different perspective. We started from the fact that God created us to reign, to rule, to have dominion, to have authority. Then we gave the authority to the devil the second week. Then the third week, Christ came to take the snatch the authority from the hands of the evil one and to give it to the church. Now today we want to look at the fact that so now that he's given us authority, what is it for? Exactly. Now I want to read two passages very quickly. First, from Matthew chapter 10. I will read verse 1, verse 7, and verse 8. Verse 1, verse 7, and verse 8. Matthew 10. And I'm reading from the King James. I am used to King James. You want to put it on the screen for us to read together? Or I should read? And when he had called unto his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits, to cast out and to heal all manner of diseases, sicknesses, and all manner of diseases. Verse 7. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely have you received, freely give. Is it like that in the Bible? Now, so let's look at Luke Gospel chapter 10. Luke 10. A very lengthy passage, but I'll be jumping. Luke chapter 10. And let these two passages speak to you, because for me, they are my anchor for tonight. Very important. Now, Luke chapter 10, I'm going to read from verse 1. I'll be jumping. Don't mind me, just follow me. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 also. So after he had sent the 12, he appointed 70 also. And he set them, and he sent them two and two before his face into every city, including the Accra Rich Church in Accra. And every place, so into every city, Accra, and every place, Rich Church. Does it make sense to you? Whither he himself will come. Therefore he said unto them, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Verse 3. Go your ways. Behold, I will send you forth as lambs among wolves, and into whatsoever house ye enter, first say, peace be unto this house. And if the son of peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. Your peace will come back to you. Verse 8. And into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you, it shall things as are said before you, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. Verse 17. And the 70 return. So those people he gave these instructions to, they return. That's what the Bible says. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, even the devils are subject unto us. Even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Verse 18. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power. I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in the book of life. I mean, I think these two passages, I wouldn't want to read about Luke, Matthew chapter 10, where it places emphasis on the 12, but beyond the 12, there were 70 whose name were not even mentioned. And so Jesus gave power to the 12, who were the founders, who were the foundations of the church. But beyond that, there were other disciples Jesus gave power to. And he gave them authority, he gave them power, exousia, to go into cities and into places and into homes, to take over jurisdictions, to take charge and begin to operate. I have already told you that authority is delegated power. Power that has been handed over by somebody. Power that has been handed over by somebody who is in authority to somebody so that he can use it. The word translated power in Matthew chapter 1, 10:1, as we read, and Luke 19, it says exousia, the exousia that I have spoken about from the beginning. And it simply means authority. And that's what we are looking at, authority. So the same thing that we've been talking about from the beginning, that you have dominion, from the Old Testament, in Luke 10, Jesus came to say, I give you exousia. I give you dominion. I give you power. And also in Luke, when he was going beyond the disciples, he said the same thing to them. I give you exousia. I give you dominion. And I give you power and authority. And I am saying that the efficacy of one's authority is determined by the power backing it. There is a writer called William Evans who writes on homiletics. And he has several books written on preaching. And he said that if you see two men fight in a boxing ring, and you see that one man hits the other and he falls, he says that the other guy didn't fall because the arm was too long, but he falls because the arm that touches his jaw came with a certain power. So there was a force behind the arm, not necessarily the length of the arm. Are you understand what I'm saying? And so I am saying that it is the power that backs the disciples and the 70 apostles. Now, I want to tell you something that I saw when I traveled. We went out one Thanksgiving night, and I have not seen it before, so I my friend came to take me out to see how it looks. And people were celebrating, and people where he took me to, people were making fun, and they were reckless. We were on a park somewhere, and children were having fun. And some guys came out from a room, maybe a restaurant or something. And when they came out, one of them got so angry, he was hitting everybody, booting everybody's car. And he was causing disaster. And I saw that somebody who worked around the restaurant just pick a telephone and call the police. And when the police came, this guy I'm talking about is huge, black American, huge, tall.
And he was kicking and blowing everybody, and everybody was scared. The moment came, and I saw short lady, a short lady came out of the car and said, "All of you, hands for the car." It was a lady, and this guy, bigger, taller than the lady, said, "All hands on the car." And then I saw him that, and then the lady got there, and all the lady did was that he held a hand, put it at the back, handed the other one, and uncuffed it. And I saw that huge guy being pulled into a car, and I said, "Wow, what kind of power is this?" You know, but why couldn't that guy struggle with that lady also? Because she came with and also she came in the uniform, and that was the power that backed her. Now, the response of the people to your authority is based on whose place you are acting. Do you understand what I'm saying? If power had been given to you, the way people respond to the power that you have is determined by who gave you the power. So, who gave that lady the power? I realized that she didn't even struggle. She just gave her instructions. They just obeyed. This is the Federal Republic. I tell you, this is Obama speaking. And you need to obey. Now, as we talk, who is it that gave authority to the people? In Matthew 10:1 and Luke 10:9, where we read, Jesus gave power to his disciples. And the power he gave to them came through his declarations. Did you realize that he didn't decorate them with credentials and with cords and with ropes? Did you realize it? Did you realize that he didn't give them any medal? Did you realize that he just spoke? He spoke the word of faith. And they receive it. And they also exercise it through faith. Now, in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, Jesus says, "All power is given me in heaven and on earth." So, he has the power. He gave it to the people. Remember that the 70 and the 12, they represented the church. When he said all power is given unto him, he means all power. And Jesus didn't go away with the power to heaven. When he went to heaven, he left the power here with us. He left the power to the church. He left the power to me and you. He left it on earth for his church. If you are the church of God, it means that his power lies with you. Hallelujah. The believer, though he's redeemed from Satan's dominion, he still lives in a world saturated with hostile demonic forces who seek to destroy him. You. The believer has authority from Jesus to trample upon serpents and scorpions, to overcome every inherent power of the enemy without fear of harm or danger. And that is very important. I am aware that by now you know that there is an invisible war going on, because Ephesians says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, which wrestling means warfare. And so that there is a war going on. And Satan and his demonic spirit are constantly fighting the people of the earth. Three people are involved in this spiritual warfare. Number one, those who are not aware of any war going on. So there is an invisible war. People are not seeing it, but people are not aware. There are many people in the church today who will not even believe that things like this. These are normally the enemy's captives. These are people who are in the grip of the evil one. Many of them are people who have not surrendered to God through Jesus Christ. And few are Christians who didn't even know that when you become a Christian, you are enlisted into the army of God. And that is the sad part. And that is why what we are looking at this month is so powerful. That we will know. 2 Corinthians 2:11 says that Satan will not outwit you because his intention had not been hidden from us. That's what Paul said. He said, we know his thoughts. We know his schemes. We know his plans. He has plans to destroy us. We are engaged in a warfare. And for that matter, I will let you know. I will have you know. So the first category of people that we have around on earth today, and some in the church, are people who doesn't even know that these things are happening. I am sure that you heard the news. This is my third meeting for today. Can you please fix this thing for me properly? This is my third meeting for today. And in one of the meetings, somebody made reference to me about a news item on one of our local radio stations today. And the local station interviewed somebody who is supposed to be a witch. And she said that they are causing a stir because he claimed that they are responsible for a lot of things. And he says 400 lives are claimed every day. Yes, 400 lives are taken every day. The grandmaster now turned to Christ. Read that document and you will see how he talked about Christians who go to church, who sing hymns and who sing songs, who clap in church and do all the things in church, but yet they are manipulated and they are under their grips and they do to them whatever they want to do to them. They are Christians without power. So I said, well, what do you mean? Jesus said the church has power. He said, yes, not everyone knows he has power. Not everyone. Until you come to the point that you have power, the power will not be a cerebral power. That is why Daniel said, but they that know their God, they shall be strong and do exploits. Knowledge of God. Knowing that you have power. So the first category are those who do not even know at all. The second category are those that are aware of a fight going on. But like the children of Reuben, the children of Gilead, the children of Dan, in the book of Judges, if you remember, during the time of Deborah, Judges chapter 5, and Barak, when they were called to fight the enemy in Israel, of Israel, but they stayed on concern. These are believers. These believers are not fighting, even though they are called. They know they are engaged in the battle, but they don't care. Judges chapter 5. That, of course, doesn't keep the enemy from them. They have been called. Something is happening. The enemy is taking charge over people's life, and they don't care. Some people are too intelligent. Some people know too much that when we talk about the activity of the evil one, some people feel it is a joke. I hear when we come to church and we talk about these things, and I hear people say that, oh, this young man, they've brought a new phenomenon and new teachings and all that. Look, if you have experienced the things I have experienced, you will know that what I'm saying is so important. So important. Many people in the church today are aware that the enemy is waging war against them, yet they don't care. They pretend as if nothing is happening. And that is why some people have taken advantage of such people and manipulate them. Let me say this to you. It is not enough to come to church and sit here on Sunday and go. It's not enough. Even though you have a charge, it is another thing to know you have to have a charge And it's another thing to know you have a charge. It is another thing to know you have a charge. And it's another thing for the charge to be released to you. The enemy makes people to feel that this is not important. And let me say to you, members of Accra Reach Church, and I have said this in several places that I've been to, it is about time we stop having sophisticated services. Let us have spiritual meetings. Am I talking to you? Because the devil is aware. The third category of people are those that are aware of a war, that war is going on, and they are involved. They are waging war. That is why some people that doesn't care. You know, that's why you are here. Why are you here? Because you are aware that when you sleep plenty, somebody will rob, take your living child and drop his dead child to you. Am I talking to somebody? Now, the subject of the believer's authority, the issue of the believer's authority, first of all, looks at the issues of sicknesses and diseases that we have around us. Issues of demonic activities, demons that take on different names in the occultic realms. And these days, we have beautified names of Satan and its activities. So we refer to the occults and others, and some of them even worship with us in the church. And they said they are not satanic spirit, they are not demonic spirit. So they have beautiful names like soteric forces, like astral force or power, like psychic entities or psychic forces, like elemental spirit or the elementals. For better still, people call them subtle entities. And don't mind them. We all these things, God created them. Who told you? There is so much falsehood in the church that when we talk about living and engaging our lives in the spiritual warfare, many people feel it's okay. Those, I like it when they call it a subtle entity, because the word subtle means hard to discover. And remember that is how the devil is. Hard to discover, not obvious or easily understood, barely noticeable. Satan makes sure his victims don't notice his activities. And these things are in the church. There are many people in the church. I'm sure that by now you know Mark chapter 1, verse 23, when Jesus came to church. And he was in church. And look at Jesus, the son of Mary, the Nazarene, the son of the carpenter, the Jesus who was baptized in the Jordan by John the Baptizer, the Jesus who was baptized and the heavens opened and God spoke and God publicly affirmed him that this is my son. He had come to church. Listen to me. He has come to church and he was teaching like I am doing now. And the Bible said there was a demon and somebody in the meeting who was possessed. He sat in the congregation. Mark chapter 1. And the Bible said Jesus was teaching. And whilst he was teaching, let me read. And there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out. You see, when demons or when evil spirits are at a place, you can notice them because they are spiritual beings. But by their activities, you know. If a superpower is introduced into their presence, they will react. And so, because Jesus was under the influence of the Spirit, He did not touch that demon. He did not mention the demon's name. But he felt uncomfortable. And the Bible said, he screamed out. He cried out unto him. Can I read? Can I keep reading? He cried out. 24. Saying, let us alone. Did you see Jesus touching that demon? He was teaching. He was only teaching, going about his business. But because the word came with power, and because the word was anointed, that spirit couldn't stand in that person. So he spoke up and said, let us alone. What are we to do with you? Thou art Jesus of Nazareth. Thou art come to destroy us. I know thee, who thou art, the only one of God. So, this is in the meeting that Jesus was present. Are you understand what I'm saying? Even Jesus himself, not the apostle, not Peter. And there was there in the meeting a man with an unclean spirit. Let me say this to you. Satan disguises himself in all the beautiful names that we see today. His real identity is hidden from men so that he can plug them into pain. He gives his worshippers temporal pleasures mixed with pain. You know, the last time I was here, I told you that we are servants of either the devil or Christ. Which one are you? So, Satan is waiting for all such people in occult world in hell unless they repent now. All persons involved in occultic practices, they are, forgive me, I mean, it's a level of witchcraft. You know that the last time I was here 2 years ago, I taught you about witchcraft and I spoke to you about the various kinds of witchcraft. You know, we have four levels of witchcraft. There are four kinds of witchcraft. And a lot of people who are into this subtle class and groups and places themselves above everybody in occultism, in certain kind of groups. I don't want to mention certain name, Amanda Marika and all those things and secret societies. And they meet in a church. It is a level of witchcraft. Am I talking to somebody? Now, and all persons involved in those things, they are operating in a level of witchcraft. I am taking you somewhere gradually. So, the classes of witchcraft I mentioned to you are what people call white witches. And this is the latest name. I mean, contemporary people would not like, some of us wouldn't call it white witches. But we have what we call blind witchcraft. We have what you call witchcraft messengers, and then we have what we call forced witchcraft. But now, when I was working, I realized that they have changed the name. They have upgraded themselves. Now they call them white witches, and they are in secret societies. Some of them are around us, and you know them, New Age movements, and all those people. They preach in a class. Then we have black witches, which in Nigeria people refer to them as native doctors. You preach with a kind of realms and the fetish priestesses and magicians, those who practice voodoo and people who are involved in operation of familiar spirits. Then we have with those the others who have become tools in the hands of the devil to use, which we call blind witchcraft. They don't even know they are witches. There are people who doesn't know that they operate the craft. They are used by witches to destroy things. But who are in suits today? Don't let anybody tell you that, oh, the witches are in my village. Now they are no more in the village. Some of them are in suits and some of them are elitists. And some of them come to the church. Remember that Paul said, they can behave like angels of light. and they can just swing themselves into the church, and he's over there, and he's everywhere, and he's doing this, he's ushering, he's ordering, he's counting money, he's everywhere. Before you realize, he's placed among prayer warriors. Before you realize, he's a church council member. Before you realize, he's wearing a clerical. They are in the church. I'm not afraid to say it. You know, they look very refined, very educated, but dangerous. They are in the church. We are more aware and afraid of the ones who lives in the village. We are mostly not aware of the one in suits, the educated ones, and the ones who profess to be Christians and may be holding positions in the church. Remember, all these category of persons, he has given you power over. And listen, if you are here and someone is telling you that you cannot just be in a member of the Akrari church and just be like that and succeed in this life, and if you need a connection. When I was in Ebenezer, there was a gentleman I was handling, and somebody lured him. He was looking for contract, and they said for him to get a contract, he needed to belong to a particular group. And he started with a group, and when he started, they would keep him at a place. And then after 3 months, they promoted him, and after 4 months, they promoted him. And when he was getting closer, they said, now the next meeting is a covenant meeting. And when he had covenant meeting, he has heard me teach on blood covenant. And then he came to say that it scared him a little. I said, don't go again. Don't go again. They tell you that this life, you need a secret. Let me say this to you. The Jesus we are following, the Jesus who has called us, if there is any secret that he wants us to know, he would have added it to us. Our Jesus is enough. That's all. Are you understanding? Walk upright, follow his will, go according to his agenda, and God's name will be glorified. So, every believer has authority over occultic powers. Take your time and go back and read the awkward grandmaster now turned to Christ. Listen to, read very carefully the things he said about the praying church. The praying church. Not a sleeping church. Not a church with beautiful structures. Beautiful auditoriums, but dead. Even the cemetery looks better than the place. We have a power of occultic power. We have power over occultic powers. We have power over fetish powers. We have power over ancestral spirit, black stool spirit. In my previous church, somebody came to talk to us that they gave them something. Like horns, you know, and it was in their home. Her mom slept in that house, that room. Her mom was no more, and she was sleeping in the room. And she said, in the night, she hears noise from that structure. And so she didn't want it anymore. So she came to tell my senior pastor. Then senior pastor said, let me talk to Eric. Let's see what we do. I said, okay, what do you want us to do? Let's go throw it away. I said, if you don't want it, get rid of it. But I said, let me prepare her mind, teach her, we pray and fast. And then after that, we do. So we had 2 weeks of fast, 14 days fast, and we're praying, and we're praying, and we're getting ready. On the 14th day, we were supposed to dispose the thing off at the beach. Can you believe? After I've worn my kambu and my jeans, and we were going to throw that thing off, we got there. And was not at the place where it was placed. It has vanished. It has vanished. It knows that its end has come. So he left. You have power. Don't run away when they scream. When they scream, scream also.
Have you not read about the prophet of God who went into a town where a priestess has erected an altar? And the Bible said, when he saw the correct prophet of God, he screamed at him. And the prophet of God screamed. And the Bible said, when he realized that the prophet screaming was above his screaming, he raised his hand to slap the prophet. And the Bible said his hand withheld. And the Bible said the prophet made a declaration and his altar was smashed into pieces. And the ashes on his altar was thrown out. Have you not read that Jeremiah said, God said to Jeremiah, for the multitude of your shout, I have come to avenge you. Don't be afraid of them. I see people who are scared of marine spirit, water spirit, and many others. The believer has authority over every oppression, every manifestation, and every manipulation of evil spirit, including lust, anger, vanity, attachment, carnality, greed, poverty, sickness, and diseases. Study carefully Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, where we read, when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirit, including Amanda Mariga, including Christians. He gave them power against priestesses. He gave them power against occultic powers to cast them out and to heal all manner of sicknesses and all manner of diseases. And again, Luke chapter 10, I said I'm going to make reference to this passage. Luke chapter 10 verse 9, Jesus said to the 72, behold, I give you power to tread upon scorpions and serpents and over all power of the enemy. So not only, serpent is the highest realm of satanic powers. That is why Revelation calls it the old diabolo. So God gave his church power over Satan and his cohorts, including that woman who keeps saying that I will kill you. Am I talking to you? Are you sure? Now, so he has given us power, and we need to understand that power, if we were not able to use them, he wouldn't have given it to us. Remember that the devil is defeated, and so he's gathering allies. He's trying to create in people's mind that he's still on the throne. Like a chief who has been overthrown and is trying to tell everybody that I'm still the chief of the town. I mean, go to your village and see. Look at what was happening recently in Western and some part of Brown Alpha region. And people are fighting over stools. Somebody said, we have dethroned you. He says, okay. So I question that case here. So if you go and set up, we also set up. Can I say this to you? The devil is defeated. He has no power. Why do I say that? Because the word of God says that. Because the enemy is defeated, God defeated him on your behalf and he gave his place, his power to you. The arrival of the kingdom of God, God's kingdom, gave you power and took away the power from the devil. Luke 11, 18, 20 says that if Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Listen, because ye say that I cast out devil through Beelzebul. Verse 19. And if by Beelzebul cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, shall they be your judges? Verse 20. But if I, with the finger of God, cast out devils, no doubt that the kingdom of God is come upon. Jesus is saying that I am able to cast out devil because the kingdom of God has come unto you. So he took off, stripped him of his power, and gave it to you. So that is what God's kingdom seeks to do for you. The reason Jesus came, according to John, 1 John 3:8, is to destroy the works of the devil. The word destroy in Greek simply means to loose, to dissolve, to melt, to separate, to break up, and to put off. I mean, look, 1 John 3:8. The works of the devil is sin, poverty, sickness, death, worry, depression, and the like. And Jesus came to separate, to lose, to dissolve, to melt their work. So the devil has nowhere to do. Have you taken notice of Acts chapter 10, verse 38? Acts 10, 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Again, the word oppressed from the Greek word simply means to exercise harsh control. So those who were controlled very harshly by the devil. Harsh control. To use one's power against one. To oppress, to exercise dominion against. Satan exercised harsh control or dominion over mankind with sin, sickness, disease, poverty, lack, depression, confusion of mind, depression and anxiety, greed, immorality, idolatry, witchcraft. Anyone having this problem is being controlled by the devil, by Satan. We talk about issues of God's agenda and devil's agenda. Whatever the devil sought to do that he couldn't do, and the Lord took over, Christ came to fix, and he created walls, making sure that his church is safe. You are a safe place. Get to know and get that into your mind. And so because God gave authority to the church when his kingdom came, when he brought his kingdom, then also he gave authority to the church after the work of Christ on the tree. The death and the resurrection is the final blow that paralyzed the government of the devil. Colossians, you know it already. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them and openly triumphing over them. So, Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. He was disgraced. He was stripped of all his powers. Having spoiled, having splendor, as victorious army does, a conquered country. The term is used, and the term here used are all military terms. Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. They are all military terms. And the idea is that Christ has completely subdued our enemy by his death. A complete victory was achieved by his death. So that everything is now in subjection to him. And we have nothing to fear. Acts chapter 3. When Peter and his friends went to pray at the beautiful gate, what happened at the beautiful gate? How that paralyzed man, got up, jumped, and walked is a demonstration of the conquest of the power that God gave to the church. That he bounded us. He crippled us. when Christ gave the power to the church, Peter spoke to that person and said, such as I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And the Bible said he jumped. He praised God. He gave glory to God. And that is the power that God has given to his church. So long as Jesus came to this earth, flesh and blood, died and resurrected on the third day, and ascended and to sit at the right hand of the Father, the stage is set for the miraculous for us. You should be setting all Satan's captives free, who of course needs freedom. All the captives of the enemies are to be set free. Those who don't know must know. Now, the believer has authority over Satan. And I will say that over and over again. So, number one, the coming of the kingdom gave power to the church. Number two, the finished work of Christ, the work of Christ on the tree, finally took everything away from him. On the third day, the devil thought he had finished everything. They were having a party in hell. And he saw a little light coming. And the light approached the throne. And everybody in hell bowed his head. And David said, lift up your heads, O you gates, for the King of glory shall come. And they said, but who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. He gave authority to the believer. Let me say this to you. By design, God took you as an individual. He set you free so that you would demonstrate the power of God. So by your redemption, he redeemed you so that you would demonstrate to the world what God had done for you. He paid your price in full so that you would say to everybody, I'm free. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You are not in bondage unless you want to be. He has set you free. If the Son shall set you free, you will be free indeed. The word redemption is to buy back by paying the full price. It is the release of a slave of Satan and sin from dominion of sin. Colossians chapter 1 verse 13 and 14 says that who has delivered us from the power of darkness. He has delivered us. He has translated us from the power of darkness. And has translated us unto the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So by our redemption, he gave us power. Whatever you are redeemed from has no power over you. You know why? Because in the process of redemption, your price was paid in full. You are no more indebted to the old master. Christ has paid your price in full at the slave market. So you are free. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So whatever you've been redeemed from has no power over you. The power of Satan over a person is the power that the individual gives to him. Because you are freed, you have been redeemed. If the devil gets power over you, it means you give the power to him. If you permit him, he will ride over you. Now, I don't know whether you have taken the time to look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27. Ephesians says that neither give the devil a chance or neither give him a place. Ephesians 4, 27. So it means if the devil exercises power over you, it means you gave the power to him. Draw nigh to God. He will draw nigh to you. Resist the devil. And he will. So the power that enemy has over you is the power you give to him. The believer has such authority that he can look at the face of Satan himself and say to him, you have no place here, and he will go. That is what he has made us. Say, I am redeemed. Say, I am redeemed. I am no longer my former master's own. I am a property of Jesus. I have power over my former master. And I will exercise it over him. In the name of Jesus. So, Jesus gave authority to the church through our redemption. He redeemed us and paralyzed our enemy. So now, if the enemy comes to our house, he has nothing to ask for because the debt has been paid. He paid in full. That's what Kenneth Hagin said. He paid in full. There is no balance. It is not high purchase. He paid in full. He has nothing to do with you. No. The second thing that Jesus did to the church, that tells us that authority and power has been given to us, is the fact that scriptures emphasizes our new source. Our new source. Our origin. He said, you said your father is Abraham. He said, that's a lie. He said, your father is the devil. And that is why you do the things you do. So he said, you do the things you do because of where you come from, your source. Because the devil has been a liar from the beginning. You lie because your father is the devil. But 1 John 4:4 is so beautiful. He said, ye are of God. So not just your redemption, but now you have come from God. You have been born out of God. Except a man be born again. Born of what? Born of God. So now we are born of the Lord. Our source is not. Don't let somebody tell you that the way you like water, you are from Busunchi. Don't let it know. Your source is in God. The Bible says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You are of God. You came from God. You proceed from God. God is your source. Can you imagine the Jesus who took you from the slave market made himself your source? Anytime your slave master comes around, he knows that your source is still alive and kicking. So, you are redeemed. You have given a new source, and your source empowers you. You are God. You originate from God. You didn't appear through an evolution. The child of a lion is as strong as the mother. As a Christian, you carry something. You have part of God in you. And that is why you could look at his face and tell him, I command you in the name of Jesus, loose your hold and get off him. Many of you are struggling with your children who are on drugs. Place your hands on them in prayer and command that spirit to leave them. Few months ago, a lady came to me and she told me about how people are manipulating the husband to take a stool. And she didn't want the idea. And I said to him, hey, we will pray. Then I showed her what to do. I said, in the night, when you get to the room before he comes, place your hands on his pillow and pray over the pillows and say that every spirit that has brainwashed him That is taking him to the other side. Because somebody would have spoken against this thing vehemently. Now he's running for it. I said, pray and say, every spirit that has taken over his brain, as he places his head over this pillow, may God strip him of that power. Last Sunday, I was after church. She came to say to me, Reverend, something has happened. I said, what happened? She said, you won't believe it. My husband's brothers fought in the village. And one of them said, you have jujued your brother so that when he become a chief, you kill him and inherit him. They fought in public. And when they called the husband, said, what? They are fighting in the house. Then she called the wife. The wife said, then go and settle the matter. I said, me, I'll never step into that village again. Asa, listen, place your hands on that man, women who are here. Place your hand on his food. Speak that as this man eats this food, he will stay in this house. Job said, thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be established. Listen, the last time I told you, you came from God. Okoto wano ma. When yankropon to me a wano. No wadi awoyen. Tiye seye ja. Do you understand what I'm saying? We speak like our papa. He was not a weakling. God is not a coward. He spoke like God. You shall decree a thing, and it shall be established. The new creation is the most dangerous species of all God's creation. You are a dangerous person. The devil knows that you are dangerous. That is why he seeks to look down on you, to cause you to feel insignificant. The demon saw Jesus and started shaking because they know that they have encountered power. And many of you, I have witnessed a lot of people with satanic spirit. We went to Chibi for a program. And we had morning sessions and evening sessions. And one of my pastor friends was doing one of the morning sessions. And I was going to do the evening session, so I was just resting for the evening service. And this witch came to the meeting to stop the service. And by revelation, one of the pastors there caught her. And while they were praying for her, she was very stubborn. She was very difficult. Because we had a very big meeting in the night, I decided to sit and then let other pastors engage her in deliverance. But she was delaying the service and she was distracting everybody. She was walking on the pews and she was all over the place. And the many in the church couldn't handle her. I said, what is this girl doing? We have to go and sleep and get ready, get some energy for the evening service. What is this girl doing? So I sat there, and I saw the witch was running at us, get out with everybody, throwing everybody down. And I got up from where I was sitting. The moment I approached her, she said, you have come to destroy me! You have come to destroy me! I said, you know who I am. When they see you, they know who you are. And that is why the witches in your family, some of them, when they see you, they are uncomfortable. When you go to your hometown for funeral, don't you see that some people get lost? Because you are too hard to be handled. They know you when they see you. Am I talking to somebody? This is very important. And when Matthew chapter 8, verse 28, 29, and when he saw, and when he was come to the other side, into the country of the Gazarenes, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs. You know what I'm talking about, the Mark story. When he met Jesus, he rushed to Jesus, came to beg Jesus, and then Jesus dealt with that spirit. So, because of what we have, where we have come from, wherever we go with his presence. Number three, we have authority because of our content. Not only our source, but also our content. What is in us? And I will make reference to the same passage. Greater is he that is in us. It's not talking about our intestines. It's talking about the power of the Holy Spirit that indwells us. And you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come unto you. He will come upon you to empower you. He will come into you to convict you. He will come with you to guide you. The believer is an overcomer because of who lives in within him. Don't you know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and then the Holy Spirit lives inside of you? Listen, stop running away. The last time I came here, I told you, if you should see in a dream, masquerade, cow, people chasing you, don't get up in a dream and start crying. Don't do that. When you are away from the dream, sit up on your bed and say, I command you, foul spirit, in the name of Jesus, loose your grip over my life. Release fire after them. Release fire after them. Release fire after them. Because of what lies inside of you. Then, the fourth evidence of your authority as a believer is the fact that your position has changed. From redeemed, from bound, from a slave, now you are redeemed. Your position has changed. And that is what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, 4 to 6, that we are now seated with him. You know, we used to sit somewhere else. Now we are seated with him. Are you aware that Christ's seat is your seat? The Bible says we are joined here with him. It means that we share with him. It is not as if it is 100% and we are sharing 50-50. But whatever belongs to Christ belongs to us. If 100% belongs to him, our portion is how many? 100%. Not 50. The Bible says we are seated with Christ Jesus. Not on any earthly throne. Not in any satanic dominion. But in the kingdom of heaven. That is why the Bible says, whatever you permit on earth is permitted in heaven. Because Christ sits with you. Stop crying for the devil. Stop crying for the devil. Stop crying. Begin to live like your God. Make declaration. Begin to speak. And tonight, I'm going to show you certain declarations you need to make. Very important. You are seated in heavenly places with Jesus. This means that the authority of Jesus is your authority. Jesus' power is your power. If ye be in Christ, seek for the things that are above. Stop crying and complaining about everything, and stop talking about, listen, we need power to live. Listen, let the devil know that you know that you know who you are. You understand what I'm saying? Stop asking like a weakling, like a beggar. Speak. The Bible says, where the word of the king is, there is power. Speak like a king. You know what Jesus gave to us that made us very powerful? You know what? Not just that we are seated with him, but also he gave us his name. The name of Jesus. My first day here, I told you about a scenario that happened. This pastor, this Presbyterian pastor, who never believed in this thing they call deliverance. That's why it's a new phenomenon. The young men are teaching it. He had a son who had a mental problem. Anytime he had a crisis, he would kill anything that he gets in contact with. He's always in chain. One afternoon, he has chained his son outside. He was taking a nap in his hall. Before he realized, his son was with a stick and he was approaching him. And all of a sudden, he got up. He realized that this son is stronger than him. He could have killed him. Nobody in the house. Then he shouted the name, Jesus! When he shouted the name, the son went back one step. He shouted it again. One step, he went back. He shouted a third time and he fell. Then he rushed out of the room. Then he said, Eric, this thing you talk is true. Listen to me. We have the name of Jesus. The name of God is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it and they are saved. And you remember when I came to talk to you about the understanding the covenant names of God? I told you in my introduction that in the Old Testament, a person's name defines a history. So when Moses asked God, okay, if you are sending me, tell me, who are you? So that when I go, I will go and tell Pharaoh who you are. Now, what literally Moses was saying was that, tell me what you have done. Because what you have done is equal to your name. What have you done? Then God said to him that, I save your fathers. I have heard their tears. I have seen their mockery. And I have come to deliver them. Go and tell them that I am is my name. The moment God told Moses what he has done, he was confident. He started going. The name. One day there was a gentleman called Goliath. He was very huge and a trained warrior from his birth. Very powerful. He was noted. He had so many credentials, so many medals. He was well decorated. The Bible said he came against the army of God. Am I talking to somebody? Now, this guy came. He had names, he had position, he has prestige, he had records to prove that he was Goliath. The Bible said he came against the people of God. Then David, who understood what God was showing to him, and I wish that all of us would have the eyes of David. So David said, 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 45, David said, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. Can I say something to you? He gave us a name that vanishes impossibilities. David said, I come not in my name. I have a name. The name Yeshua HaMashiach, the Christ of God. Jesus Christ. The name above every name. And Paul said, at the mention of the name Jesus, every knee shall bow. Oh my God. When the name of Jesus is mentioned, cancer bows. Anything that has a name, when the name of Jesus is mentioned, he will bow his knee. When the name of Jesus is mentioned, arthritis will bow, cancer will bow, HIV will bow, paralysis will bow. At the name of Jesus, demons will flee. You have that name. He gave us that name. Oh, what a name. We have it at our disposal. You know about Asa, King Asa, 2 Chronicles. He said, look at what he said. Let me read it for you. I just love it. Thank you, Jesus. And Asa cried out unto the Lord. 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 11 and 12. 2 Chronicles chapter 14, 11 and 12. King Asa also said, so, and Asa cried unto the Lord. He cried. He did what? He did what? Can we read? Can you see the screens? Can you read together? Let's read. Go. And Asa, his God, and said, Lord, it is with nothing. In thy name we go against this multitude. Keep reading. Oh Lord. Oh Lord, thou art God. Thou art God. Yeah? Let no man prevail against you. He says, look, you are not winning the battle. You are God. He says, look, no man has ever been able to overpower you. He said, look at this multitude. And when multitudes rise, tonight we are going to make declaration into the atmospheres. As I said, thou art God. Don't let anyone, any human being born of a woman, don't let any demon from the pit of hell prevail against you. This morning, we will say a prayer. That in the name of Jesus, whatever is challenging your condition financially, whatever is coming after your marriage, whatever is coming after your business, tonight we shall lift up prayer like Asa and we shall set him, oh Lord, don't let man prevail against you. Don't let man, don't sit down and let man. And so put the scripture back. Oh, what a name. As I said, we come in that powerful name. Give me the scripture again. Oh my God. Give me the scripture again. Is it coming on the screen? I'm waiting like something. Say, oh God, thou art God. Let no man prevail against you. The last time I came here, I showed you if I were writing that passage in the Bible, I would have written it differently. Yes. You know how I would have written it? I would have said that Ewurade entna simfa usa nhye wonde mfem na nipa ntwemfa oso. Don't sit down and put your hands between your legs and let this multitude just overpower us. It can't kratashi no fedin. Are you not giving me the passage? Yes. I will wait for that guy to give me the passage. Because there is something I want to show you. Right? We have a name. Say name. So, as I said, he said, let not man prevail against you. It means that, as I said, it is your name we have come. It is in your name we are going to this battle. Don't sit down and keep quiet. Eh? You know all power belongs to you. You are God. You are God. And he said, it is not difficult for you to kill with plenty or small. He said, don't sit down. He said, Papa, don't sit down and let this woman kill all my children like chicken. No. Hey, that should be somebody's prayer tonight. That Father, don't sit down and let this manager sit on my promotion. This morning I am a declaration. He said, you are God. All power belongs to you. Don't sit down and watch and let these people prevail against you. And when Asa said that to God, do you know what God did? Look at verse 12. And you yourself, you will see what he did. Are you going to show me or you will show me? So what happened?
still like that in the Bible? It was the prayer of Asa that provoked God. And I'm saying to somebody, tonight, we will make time to make declaration to the air. And I tell you, God will take charge over people's life. I said, Ewurade, entnasi, enyeshe hain, entnasi nkawa nuntum, nastasi sifui, timodini, enkunkumi masa. And you are sitting here and you are, remember that credit check, and you are always dressing gentle, but there is somebody in your office who always slashes your salary. You are even afraid to talk to about it. And you are sitting in my, under my meeting? No. Ewurade, enyeshe hain, masisifui, sisifui, and my name is Sine, and Radi, continue. I told you about the lady who came to my church after we had prayed. The lady who came to my church and we prayed, she has finished university, she has finished her national service, 3 years, no job. And she was always coming to me and we're praying and no job. I said, what is wrong? You know, sometimes some people, especially when they have a lot of responsibilities from the family, and things were calling on her, and because we were always praying and the job was not coming, she was going to interviews, was always circulating applications. And so she said, I told her that, listen, why don't you go back to school and do a further course whilst we wait for this job? She said, yeah, but my junior sister, my mom and others. Say, my God. So we prayed and one job called her. Then she started a job. You know, she put in the application to do her master's. Then, it wasn't long. I mean, she got a job first, and because she had put in the application, she had a job, and then also she was called. So, double blessing. Then, she went and told her boss that having given an opportunity to study, and the classes are 2, so there are 3. I'll come to church very early in the morning. I'll close at 2, and at 3, I'll attend lectures on certain days, not every day. The man said, hey, you just came to this place. You know how long I've been sitting here? No school, no nothing. I've been sitting here. I've been sitting more than 15 years, and you just came, less than 4 months. You want to go? You can't go anywhere. He said, you either take the job or go to the school. And the lady said, eh? He said, you either go to your university or do the job. I won't give you the double. Then the lady came to me, crying. She said, ah, Reverend, I could do it. And I said, I know you could do it. And she was crying. It was a Thursday morning. I was going to church. And I asked her, what is the name of your boss? Because I didn't know what to do again, because I was there with the lady and I know what she went through before she got the job. And I didn't know how to tell her that I forgot the school. I didn't know how to do it. I asked her, what is the name of your boss? I'm telling you because God has given you power in the name of Jesus. And so she wrote the name of the boss, and her name was not even nice. And so, listen, when it was time for me to go and preach, and so I had the name in my hands, and all I did was that, you, this man who is trying to trouble this girl, I squeeze you as I squeeze this paper, so do I squeeze you. I squeeze the paper and I place it in my mouth and say, I have chewed you like the way I chew my chicken. You are finished. That was all I said. I said, you are finished. And I said to the lady, go and sit down. Let's go and pray. That was all. Thursday. Friday. It was a Thursday we had this meeting. Friday. Then Saturday, the management went to meeting at Mountains. When they finished all the meetings Saturday evening, they handed him the boss a letter. Can you get the content? The boss has been transferred to South Africa. Monday, this girl was not part of the meeting. She didn't even know. Monday morning, she got to the office and the boss was already there. She wanted to greet her. Good morning. He said, leave this place. You are a witch. What do you want? Have you gotten it? Oh, look at the boss talking to the lady. I'm a witch. What I want, I've gotten it. He said, take and read. The man has been transferred. Can I tell you? Now, so The boss who said, either you leave and go to school, or you look, stay at your job, he was sent to South Africa. And they brought a new boss who was a woman. And at one, the boss would come and say, go to lunch and go to school. In the name of Jesus. My friends, what I am saying is that there is a name. He has given us a name. And by that name, we are able to wage war. We have a name, and it is our power. The name of Jesus is available to you. Use it. Use it. Use it. Use the name. Oh my God. I love this thing we are doing. And John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in your name. I'm reading Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 45, 49 to 50. And you know, the encounter of Jesus and his... And John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devil in your name. We saw one casting out devil in your name. And we forbid him, because he was not our follower. And Jesus said to him, forbid him not. For he that is not against us is for us. And you know, there is something that is very wonderful about this passage. The disciples of Jesus went to town, and they saw somebody who was not in their class. The person was not their classmate. He didn't sit in Jesus' teachings. They didn't know him. He wasn't Peter. He wasn't John. He wasn't Matthew. He wasn't Bartholomew. But they met him somewhere in some village, in some corner. And the Bible said he was commanding demons in the name of Jesus, and they were obeying. Do you know? You may not have seen him physically, but that doesn't deny the fact that he has given you authority, and you can enjoy the power in the name. Am I talking to somebody? He gave us the name of Jesus. These 72 were surprised. They said, we are surprised. We are surprised that even the demons bow. They bow down at your name. They were shocked. The 72 were surprised at what happened on the mission field when they were to preach. They weren't expecting demons to bow to them in the name of Jesus. They said, even demons bow, are subject to us. The word even indicate that they were not expecting these demonic forces to bow to them in the name of Jesus. You will never know you have authority over the devil that is messing with your children and messing with your marriage and messing with your earth until you rise up to deal with him using the name of Jesus. He said to them, he has given authority in his name to them to trample and crush and to destroy and to walk upon every satanic activity. And because of his name, when they walk on serpents, the venom in the serpents will not harm them. Because of the name. You know what David said? He said, yet though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. David said, for your name's sake. Yeah. Do you know that the name of Jesus still stands for you? Waiting for you to have authority. Now, I realize that demons manipulate a lot of Christians. And because of that, we have delegated and relegated this authority given to us to the devil. The way to manipulate is to be controlled, to be influenced, to be directed, to temper. Manipulation could be closed or removed. Close or removed.
And Satan is expert in using both. Satan has the best organized military tactics. And he uses demons to fight among themselves. So they challenge themselves. But when it comes to the believer, they mobilize against the believer. But you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. I feel like taking you through something, and then I will get you something else. You know, when the devil was defeated in heaven, he was driven out of heaven. Peter was not there. Peter didn't see it. But Christ saw it. And that was okay. That was okay because he knew that Jesus was super to him. But in Luke's gospel, this time, listen. Not only Jesus seeing the enemy being defeated, but the disciples themselves. Jesus said, I saw the devil fall like lightning before you. Before you. Before you. Can I say something to you? For the fact that the devil cannot look at you to confront you, but he accuses you, according to Revelation chapter 10, chapter 12, verse 10, he calls him the accuser of the brethren. You know why he can't come and face you? Because he knows that he's a defeated foe. He knows that you are better than him. But he also knows that most of us, Christians, are ignorant. So what he does is that he takes advantage over us. And let me say this to you very quickly, and then I will ponder you into prayer. Now, he knows that he is a loser. He has that complex. And because of that complex, he can't come to you. He goes to accuse you. He goes to accuse you. He uses your past against you. He says things about you. And many Christians have been paralyzed because the devil accuses him. Don't you realize that anytime you want to kneel down to pray, then he will tell you, oh, you, didn't you just did that thing just last night? And look at what you are doing again. Revelation chapter 10, verse 12, verse 10 says he's the accuser of the brethren. He does that to you so that he will rob you. He'll bring charge against you. Now, I saw the devil's complex. Because of his complex, makes him to do four things. And let me say these things to you. Please, this is as the result of the complexity of the devil. It is not because he has so much power. He's trying to hide his shame. So he comes accusing you. Number one, he comes as a deceiver. The devil comes as a deceiver. He comes as a deceiver. His target is your mind. Speak to your mind. And you, didn't you just lie last night to your boss? And even when you were coming to church, you lied to your husband that you were going to the hospital. And many people, anytime they kneel down to pray, he whispers to their mind. So he said, the devil comes as a deceiver. His target is your mind. His weapon as a deceiver is lies. He throws lies at you. God will not listen to your prayer. You are filthy. You are not righteous. You cannot approach this throne because of that abortion. His purpose is to make you ignorant of God's will. But can I say something to you? You have a defense. You can confront him face boot for boot. And what can you do? It's the inspired word of God. Know the word. And that is why this meeting is important. The word of God in us and the word of God out of us will counteract the devil and he will flee. Jesus said, it is written. Number two, he comes as a destroyer. Not only as a deceiver, he comes as a destroyer. His target is our body. Our body, to destroy our body. His target is our body. His weapon is suffering.
to bring pain to us. All of us are scared. We don't want to be hurt. To bring pain to our body. His purpose is to make you feel impatient. His purpose is to make you impatient with the will of God. But your defense is the imparted grace. Hallelujah. There is grace. There is grace. Romans chapter 5 verse 17 says that, but them that receive grace, them that receive the abundance of grace, they shall reign in this life. Number 3, he comes as a ruler. I'm trying to get into something very soon. He comes as a ruler. His target is your will, what you want. His target is your will. His weapon is pride. His purpose is to make you feel independent of God's will. And I told you that, that's why he told the devil, he told Adam, he said, Adam, you be like God, leave him alone, you be like him, stop following him, stop responding to his call, he will be like him. The day you eat that thing, his purpose is to make you feel independent of God's will. I can do it by myself. But the believer heart, the believer has the indwelling. Our weapon as believers is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. I'm talking to you. There is a guy who is into a warfare with you. But before you get there, he lies about you. He cannot confront you. He's scared about you. He forms lies. He forms strategies to cause you to feel bad, so that you don't wage the war. Number 4, he comes as the accuser. The accuser. His target is your heart. Your heart and your conscience. His weapon is accusation. Why is it that you cannot exercise your authority as a believer? Because he is a deceiver, he's a destroyer, he's a ruler, and he's an accuser. These are what? So I'm saying that his target is your conscience, your heart. His weapon is accusation. His purpose is to bring an indictment to God's will in your life. To bring an indictment to God's will. But, my friends, but. Everybody say but with me. But. Our defense with the devil as an accuser is the interceding son. 1 John 2. He said, little ones. 1 John 2. He says, little ones, do not sin. Can I please give me the passage so I will read properly? 1 John chapter 2. He says, my little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. And I said, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Now, look at something. Our greatest weapon is that there is an advocate with the Father. He's with the Father. And he intercedes on your behalf. And I say that the word advocate, Greek, from the Greek word paraclete, means your spokesperson. Devil, if you have something against me, go and hold Jesus. He's my lawyer. Are you there with me? Listen. Remember, the authority of the believer is to understand that the devil is a destroyer, the devil is a deceiver, the devil is a ruler, the devil is an accuser. He does these 4 things to rob you of your power, to make you feel insignificant, to make you feel unpowerful, to make you not experience his power. Can I introduce you into prayer by showing you something? Take me to Zechariah chapter 3. My God, something is going to happen. Zechariah chapter 3. How many of you came to this meeting because you want to pray? You want to pray. This is a praying hour. Jesus, I love this thing. Zechariah chapter 3.
Zechariah chapter 3. You see, this morning, as we sit in this meeting, you are relaxed, okay? But one thing I want you to know is that in this moment, in this position, he's empowering you. Can I say, let's read Zechariah chapter 3. Zechariah, the prophet Zechariah chapter 3. And I'm going to introduce you very quickly into times of prayer. And I want us to use scripture to pray. One of the things that the enemy cannot stand is for us to be scriptural. You can't find Zechariah in your Bible. It's in the Old Testament. Minor prophets. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I give you praise. I am waiting for Zechariah to come. Okay, do you have it in your Bible? Okay, so if you have it, please read. Verse 1. Then he showed me Joshua the high priest. He was standing before the angel of the Lord, ready to receive from the Lord. Right? And the devil stood at his right hand. What has he come to do? What has he come to do? And many of you, he comes there every day. He reminds you of that we did every day. And the Bible says in Jeremiah, he says that your sins and your iniquities, I remember them no more. But that is what he comes to remind you of. And so if you don't know your scripture, that he doesn't remember, the Bible says that faithful is he. He will not hold your sin against you. The Bible says that he will wash you and cleanse you from it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay, now Zechariah has come. So let's read from Zechariah. Everybody go. And he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the Lord. And Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. Please, I am introducing you into prayer. So take your time and let's do it. So he was standing there at his right hand to do what? To resist him. It means that he had come to hinder the Joshua, the high priest, had come to do. And I'm saying that many of you, he does that to you. Listen, anytime that thought comes to your mind, get up, deal with it. Do what Joshua did. So what happened? Verse 2. What happened next? And the Lord said unto Satan, say it again. He said, "Oh, you Satan, the Lord rebuke you." You know why God will rebuke Satan? You know why he will rebuke him? Because what he had come to accuse Joshua of, God has pardoned him for it already. And the Lord knew the intention of the devil. He had come to accuse him so that he would demoralize him from approaching the throne. And I'm saying that he does that to us, many of us here. He said, the Lord rebuked Satan. Oh, Satan, even the Lord has chosen Jerusalem. Even the Lord that has chosen Jerusalem rebuked thee. It's nothing. It's not this a brand plucked out of fire. He says, this man you have come to accuse of, did I not just took him out of fire? Did I not purge him? Did I not wash him? And don't you know that our paraclete, our intercessor, the son who is interceding, who is with the father, our advocate, they put his hands, they put nails into his hands, and he showed you to the father, I paid it in full. Am I talking to you? When the devil bring an accusation, Jesus show his hands to him. I have paid for it. And anytime he comes to accuse, he will show him his crown, the marks on his head. He said, I wore that thorn to replace him. And then anytime we come to accuse him, he says, I shed my precious blood for him. He said, did I not took him? Did I not pick him out from the fire? Did I not wash him? Say, Satan. Say it with me, Satan.
Satan.
The Lord rebuke you. In the name of Jesus. Say, Satan.
Satan.
I pray. In the name of Jesus. Can you rise up on your feet, somebody? Many of you, I love this passage in Israel and group on one cow and him. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Sure. Say with me, I
decree
that every move
or any move
of Satan
or
his demons
to make me guilty
and shameful in the name of Jesus, as I pray this morning, I reverse it back to them by the power of the Holy Spirit. I rebuke the devil in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that every accusation of the devil against my life, against my marriage, against my business, against my children, this morning, as I pray, I nullify and I rebuke the devil in the name of Jesus. Begin to rebuke him in prayer. 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 Begin to rebuke the devil. In whatever way he brings accusations at you, rebuke him. He brings your yesterday against you. He brings your past against you. He brings your mistakes against you. Begin to rebuke him. The Bible said, God rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Somebody lift a voice and pray. Lift up the voice and pray. The Lord rebuke you. Somebody lift up the voice and pray. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Devil, the Lord rebuke you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Wherever you are, can you move towards me now? Move, everybody. Wherever you are, just let us have one meeting right now. Ezekiel chapter 6, verse 11. Makara blasidibide. Le mayalish. I'm you young guys. Please come get a microphone. Let us pray together. Malele. Malika brother city. Ezekiel chapter 6 verse 11. Listen to me. I'm going to show you a prayer. One of the things that the enemy fears is for us to know his word, to be ignorant. That is why Paul said, I wouldn't want you to be ignorant about the schemes of the devil. Let me say this to you, and I've quoted already Jeremiah to you. I told you that God came to Jeremiah and told him, Jeremiah, for the multitude of your shouts, I have come down. It means that our shouting has the power to catch God's attention. Are you okay? Do not think that I'm going to make you to do things that are not right. These are the things that we have done every day. It has given us results. Come on, let's read together. Thus saith the Lord, smite your hands and stamp your feet and say, alas. Is it correct in your Bible?
Yes.
He said, that says the Lord. God told them, smite your hands and stamp your feet in prayer. Are you ready to do that? I know I'm in a Akrari church, but that's okay. Listen to me. Say, I decree
and declare
in the name of Jesus,
in the name of Jesus,
that as I clap my hands,
that as I clap my hands
and stamp my feet,
and stamp my feet
in prayer,
every activity
of the devil,
against my life,
to cause me
to fail,
will fall, never to rise again.
Oh Lord,
as I stamp my feet, clap my hands,
so shall it be.
Clap your feet and stamp your feet. Clap your hands and stamp your feet in prayer. Every activity of the devil shall fail.
We stop the accusations.
falling. It's falling.
Against you fail.
May every accusation against me.
Say with me, say, Father.
Father,
I decree.
I decree.
I decree that the enemy.
That the enemy.
Far away.
Far away.
Okay, before we pray this, let me show you. Because I want you to be very scriptural. Okay, so he says that as you stamp your feet and clap your hands, every plan, every intention against you, those ones that are in motion and those ones that are yet to come will fail. And the Bible says it will fall never to rise again. Oh my God. Take me to the next verse. Oh my God, this is beautiful. He that is far shall die. So people who manipulate me from far away, and I told you that the devil manipulates people from remote, far away, and from closeness. So he said, he that is far off shall die of the pestilence, and he that is near shall fall by the sword, and he that remaineth and is besieged shall die by the famine.
In the name of Jesus.
Thou. Listen to me. Say, listen to me. Say, Father.
Father.
This morning.
I decree.
That the enemy.
Far.
And near.
In the name of Jesus.
By the sword.
Shall fall.
For my sake.
In the name of Jesus.
The enemy.
That shall flee.
Shall fall.
And be.
In total lack.
Say, Lord.
As I clap my hands and stamp my feet.
So shall it be.
In the name of Jesus.
We bless your name.
Those who plan from far shall fail.
Yes, Lord.
Those who plan from near shall fail.
Yes, Lord.
And those who run away from this prayer, they shall fall by the sword.
The sword.
Because of you.
In Jesus' name.
In the name of Jesus. And the fury of the Lord shall be upon them.
Yes, Lord.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You know, last week or two, I showed you a prayer in Job. And I think that I would like us to pray it again. Job 27 verse 23. This clapping of hand thing is very powerful and it works so much.
Jesus.
Job 23. He said, men shall clap their hands at him and shall hiss out of his. So whosoever has established a place in your house, whosoever has established a throne in your home, making sure that in a home where there are intellectuals, and fear nyansa for the nimdiefu wono, a horn abon sam edi avetesi, and sanum abetna. Gentlemen are being killed, destroyed, because somebody has established his throne. Am I talking to somebody? The Bible says you will clap your hands at him. And I told you that for we Ghana people, we say that, oh, chale glancy, you change, you know, oh, chale, oh, where is she? Am I talking to you? He says that as you clap your hands at him, he shall hiss him out of his place. Eba fale, eba tunse banchi, e yinefi ho. And those who have established places in your families, making sure that women in the family are barren, making sure that women who marry proper marriage will not have children, and women will give birth without husbands, that you will live in a relationship for a long time and no one wants to see marry you. Those who have established those thrones, as we clap our hands to God, may he be at their heels. In the name of Jesus. May it be at their heels. Clap your hands. Every throne of poverty, every throne of disappointment, every throne of failure, every throne of stagnation, in the name of Jesus, if we not lift up our hands, we are hitting them out. We are hitting them out. In homes where there are disappointments, as we clap our hands, we hiss at their heels. In homes where there are failures, as we clap our hands in prayer, it may it hit such at them.
Jesus.
May God remove the enemy,
yes,
from his place.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
We are seeing prayer. Ezekiel chapter 21.
let's do this prayer based on scriptures. And when you go home, place your scriptures on God's word. Refuse the accusation of the devil and pray against him. Rebuke him. When he came to accuse Joshua, the Lord rebuked him. Oh my God. Ezekiel. Jesus. Jesus. I met this man at Agogba, and he does government contracts, and for the past 4 years he's not done any contract. He took a loan for a contract, and he couldn't finish the contract, so they couldn't pay him. The money he took is going up, and he's now scared, and he doesn't know what to do. And he came to us and said that, please help me. I don't know. Sometimes I just don't want to do it to myself. I feel like I should go and fall into the sea and die. And he told me that, listen, my brother who introduced me to the business committed suicide in the States, yes. Because things went so bad. He bought a lot of homes in the U.S. And at a time when they said something happened in the U.S. and his homes, reduced, depreciated so much that he couldn't handle the situation. He just went to his home, drank medicine. His wife was a nurse, went to work. By the time he came back in the morning, he was dead. He said he wrote that he couldn't stand the depreciation. He couldn't stand it. And so he told me that sometimes he feels like going to fall into the sea. Because anytime he thinks about the depths, he was so scared. So he came to us, and I said, this thing is planted in your house. As I said, you're born pioneering two sad yen in Fifi. So he came. I said, let us pray. We prayed. And you know, a friend used his name for a contract. For a contract. His friend was bidding for a contract. And this is before he came to our place, months. His friend has forgotten about it. He even himself has forgotten about it. The friend used his company's name. After he came to our place for prayer, I think a week or two, he was just there. He had a telephone call. And the person said, we were just going through our bids. We saw your bid. He said, other people's bid is nice, but we feel like taking you. And he said, so if you could change this and this and this from your bid and bring your paper again, we will give you the bid. And the guy said he couldn't even remember what the gentleman was talking about. Then he remembered. We came to pray that those who have established themselves in the house to make sure that things hasn't worked have been moved out. And immediately they moved out, they were chased out of the house, things began to fall at their places. He came to my church to testify that he had a million Ghana cedi, 100 Ghana, he said in his life, he had 1 billion old Ghana cedis. Contract. He has never had it before. And you know, he did not even do it. It was his friend who used his name to do it. When God chased them out, he will put things in place. That man who has just left you, God will put things in place.
Oh, thank you, Daddy.
Are you there with me?
Yes, Lord.
Okay, let's read Ezekiel. We are still praying. We are still praying. I like it this way. Ezekiel chapter 21. Don't worry, I'll finish with you very soon. Where is the drummer? Drummer, please. You are the same person?
Yes.
Oh, this is beautiful. Okay. Let's do it very quickly. I have a number of them. We pray them and then we go. And please take note of these passages and pray them on your own. You know, there are times I take my Bible and when I read these passages, I lie down and I pray. I pray them into being. The man told me that
He had 1 billion old Ghana Cedis contract. He said he's never had it. And you know, you will, unless you get to the point where you are able to recognize these things. Ezekiel, is your computer getting so slow so I can read the Bible? 14. 21:14. Please read. So that we'll do a declaration. Oh my God. I said Ezekiel 21. It has come.
Yes.
Right. Thou therefore, son of man, prophesy and
thine hands together,
and let a sword be double. Listen. Listen. Tonight, you are releasing double weapon. He said, clap your hands and prophesy and double your weapon. It means that what you are doing is doubling your weapon of warfare. Don't let somebody tell you that these people are doing these things to you. Okay, so he said, for it is, and let the sword be doubled the third time. The sword of the slain is the sword of a great man that are slain, which entereth into their private chambers. Okay, are you ready to pray it?
Hey!
Are you ready to pray?
Yes!
You know, sometimes I will sit in my library and I read passages like this, then I will scream. Ah! My wife will say, so what's wrong? I said, I'm doubling my sword.
Amen.
Jesus. Are you ready to decree?
Yes, Lord.
Say, I decree.
I decree.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
That as I strike my hand.
In prayer.
This morning.
May my sword.
Be double.
May the strength.
Of my weapon.
Be doubled.
In the name of Jesus.
As I clap my hands.
Oh Lord. Let my prayer go after my enemy.
In the name of Jesus.
Oh Lord, let my prayer go after my enemy.
Every evil thought,
let it go after them. In the name of Jesus. Clap your hands. Release double sword. Release double sword.
Spirit.
The king of glory, the king of victory,
I collect them.
Say,
I decree
that the devourer,
that the devourer
will not consume me.
Will not consume me.
He will not consume me.
Will not consume me.
He will not consume my marriage.
Consume my marriage.
He will not consume my marriage.
Consume my marriage.
He will not consume my blessings.
He will not consume my blessings.
I decree that if the enemy,
that if the enemy
has made any program,
has made any program
to fail my plans,
my plans,
as I clap my hands,
I clap my hands
in the name of Jesus,
in the name of Jesus,
I pray that my program,
that my program
will be restored,
will be restored,
in the name of Jesus,
in the name of Jesus,
that Lord,
as I clap my hands,
may my programs be restored. Clap your hands in prayer.
Lord, I establish your call. It is a program that you have set for me. I set my program in order, Lord. I set my life in order, Lord, in accordance with your word. I set my life in order, Lord. In the name of Jesus, every program for set my life, Lord, is our program for me. Every task that God has placed for me, I set them in order. And today I begin to walk with the plan of God. I begin to walk in the plan and in the purposes. I begin to walk for God in the plan, in accordance with your word, in accordance with your will. My God and my Lord, I decree that your word for my life shall be the God that I walk in. And Lord, surely as you live, God, my plans are not whole. As sure as you live, in the plan for my life shall be God, for God and for purpose, as surely as you live, I decree in
Jesus.
I'll be established in Jesus' name.
Say, I decree that every conspiracy,
that every conspiracy
against my marriage,
against my marriage,
against my family,
against my family,
against my business,
against my business,
against my academics,
against my academics,
shall not prevail,
shall not prevail,
in the name of Jesus,
in the name of Jesus.
As I clap my hands,
I clap my hands
in prayer,
in prayer,
oh Lord,
oh Lord,
oh Lord,
oh Lord,
turn the imperfection,
turn the imperfection,
turn the imperfection,
turn the imperfection
into perfection,
into perfection,
turn my darkness,
turn my darkness
into light,
into light,
in the name of Jesus.
Turn
my negativities,
turn my negativities
into positives,
into positives,
in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
As I clap my hands,
clap my
oh Lord,
so
shall it be,
so
shall it be,
so
shall it be. Clap your hands in prayer.
So shall it be,
Lord.
So negativity, the enemy has been programmed me. I turn them in the name of Jesus into positivity. So shall it be. Because the Son of God has set me free. The Son of God has redeemed me from every curse, from every pain, from every poverty, from every sickness.
So shall it be. So shall it be.
By the power of Jesus, oh God, and the Son of God has redeemed, has restored, has saved, God of glory.
Jesus,
Lord of glory,
my
peace. Against my finances, against my businesses, against your work, against your business.
Is there somebody to give me a passage?
Yeah.
All right. Give me Isaiah chapter 9. My God. Isaiah chapter 9. Verse 5. Something is... We are left with two more declarations to make. And I will lay my hands on a few people. And then I will leave you. But listen to me. Remember that the power is at your disposal.
In Jesus' name.
For every battle... of the warrior is with a confused noise. Is it like that in the Bible? And a garment rolled in blood. But this shall be burned. Say, Father, my battle.
Father, my battle
tonight
comes
with a confused noise.
With a confused noise.
When I talk about confused noise, do you know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about that noise. That's the three lepers. The noise, their footstools, their steps made in the camp of the Syrians. And the Bible said, when the enemy heard their footstools, it sounded like chariots. And the guys were confused. Listen to me. May your prayer tonight,
Jesus,
release a confused noise to your enemy. Shout yes! Listen, two more prayer, very important ones. Say, I decree.
I decree
that my mouth,
that my mouth
shall speak, and darkness,
darkness shall flee,
and my blessings,
shall flow.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Do you have mouths yet?
I do.
Yeah. You know what the Bible says? You will decree a thing with your mouth,
and it shall be established.
Say again with me. Say, Oh Lord,
I decree and declare
in the name of Jesus, that my mouth,
shall speak,
and the darkness,
in my life
shall flee in the name of Jesus,
and
my blessings
shall flow.
Say,
Oh Lord,
this morning,
as I call, as I speak,
may it be established.
Say, Oh Lord,
let the blessings be established. Let marriage be established. Let promotion be established. Let healing be established. In the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, I decree in the name of Jesus that my mouth shall speak. And darkness shall flee. In the name of Jesus. Say,
Father,
I shall speak. So shall it be. Begin to speak something positive in your life. Begin to speak something spiritual in your life. Pray to your marriage. Pray to your children. Pray to your business right now. Speak positive.
In our businesses, in our marriages, in our homes, in our families, in the lives of our children, in the name of Jesus, it's been established.
Make declarations. Speak. Your marriage shall be well. Your business shall be well. Your children will be happy. Your life shall be successful. Success will await you. Blessings shall come over you. Your life, you are going to live long. You will live a longer life. You will prosper. Decree and pray.
We shall decree a thing, and it shall be established in the name of Jesus. We decree and declare. We declare and declare that we shall not fail. We shall never rot. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
So, Father,
I decree and declare
that my family, will live their full life. I will not die. My children will not die premature. We shall live our full lives. We shall prosper in whatever we do. Whatsoever our hands are touched shall be a blessing. Father, I decree and declare that I am a woman.
I decree and declare
that I am a good thing,
and
therefore a man will find me. I pray into my marriage. Every difficulty that I encounter in my marriage,
I pray
in the name of Jesus that it shall be rolled away. Your glory will locate me. Your blessings will locate me. Favor will locate me. I will not be barren. In the name of Jesus,
from today,
and the remainder of the days in the year, I shall walk in prosperity. In the name of Jesus,
throughout this year,
I shall walk in prosperity. I will not fail. Failure will not be my portion. I will succeed. I will make it.
I will shine.
For the glory of God. Shall be upon me in the name of Jesus. I receive the double. I claim the double. I take the double in the name of Jesus. Because to make a declaration now. Make declarations now. Make declarations now.
Your kingdom will be established, O God, because the kingdom has come into my people.
To the glory and praise of your name.
Listen, let me say this special prayer. I mean, as I was coming and I was putting myself together, I was asking God for specific prayer needs for this church and for individuals who are coming specifically to this meeting. And this is one of the prayer points that God gave to me, that let your children make these declarations.
Yes, Lord.
And this one is one of the first that came to my heart. Please say with me, I decree by the power of God,
by the power of God,
I shall meet the right people,
at the right places,
in the name of Jesus.
Whosoever
my sources
is connected tonight,
as I pray. May God reconnect me in the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit. May God connect me to my link in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, connect me to my success. Connect me to my breakthrough. Oh Lord, connect me to my healing in the name of Jesus. That Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I will meet the right people. I will be at the right place. I will not be late.
I will not be denied.
I will not fail. I will not be disappointed. It shall go well with me. In the name of Jesus, this relationship will stand. In the name of Jesus, begin to pray and thank God now. Begin to pray and thank Him.
Thank you for connecting me to you. But you are the source of my life. You are the source of my strength. You are the source of my victory. I thank you, God, that you have come through for me. I thank you, God, that you have established me, oh God, in you. And in Christ Jesus, my Lord and Savior. And God, whatever my trust is blessed, whoever I meet, oh God, is blessed. And everybody that I love shall I come to God out of the world. It brings me only truth and confession. It brings me only, oh God, appointed for me.
Thank
in the
you,
name
Jesus.
Of Jesus, I give you thanks and glory, for you Jesus are the source today of my life. And I bless you.
Can you lift your hands to heaven? Let a dew of heaven bring us a refreshing, show us your glory,
oh Lord.
Show us your glory, oh Lord. Show us thy glory, oh Lord. Lift the voice and sing it. Apostles, Jesus told the disciples, wait for the empowerment. And the Bible says in chapter 1 verse 8 that, and you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit had come upon you. God daily renews us with His Spirit. This morning, may the Spirit of God fall afresh on you. Somebody close your eyes and lift your hands to heaven. Say, Jesus,
Jesus,
touch me.